Okay, we left off yesterday. We still have a little bit left of our sugya. So we're trying to figure out one basic question. What exactly can we extrapolate from our sugya about what the role of the Nosei and what the role of the Makabel is in terms of the Kinyan Kesef, of course, particularly the Kinyan Kesef of Kedushin. So we saw that there were some who wanted to argue, or advised, we spoke a lot about the other day, who wanted to argue that maybe based on Agamara, we can derive this notion that the Nosein doesn't really play a major role in terms of Kesef Kedushin. What really matters is the Makabel. That's all that really matters. And we pointed out that that depends on what you think about it. But Kanani, that depends on what you think about Basa Nosein Makabel and Asugi. A lot of different possibilities, whether we accept their advice, reject their advice, etc. But then we saw, yesterday, we spent a lot of time on, was the Rashba. There's a Rashba later on, Andaf Nunvav, where the Rashba addressed an issue concerning Mekadosh HaSa'isha, with Domim of Isuri Hanah. So we had our famous cheeseburger from yesterday, that the person sold the cheeseburger and uses the money to be Mekadosh HaNisha. So the Mishnah says, Kedushin Tchal, Mokha Mekish V'Dremi Kudesh. It's not a shadow. It's very Shem Mishnah. Mokha Mekish V'Dremi Kudesh. So according to Rashi Shita in several places in Shas, Chulim and Zara, that the May Isuri Hanah Amutat Achayrim, but they're still also to the Machlif himself. So then you have a strange situation. Because from the vantage point of the chassan, he's giving us something that's worthless. From the vantage point of the kala, she's accepting something. So how does that work? So says the Rashba. Salmon from Dov, that it works. Yeah, see from here, that it works. That all that's necessary for Kedusha to take place, all that's necessary for Kinyan Kesef to take place, is the Kabbalah Samakabel, and the Nesinus and Noisin is not so important. That was the Rashba's way of understanding the Dov. And then what took up the bulk of the show yesterday was the Rashi says, I'll bring you a raya that that's the case on the famous Gemara in Daf Nunbeis, where the Gemara says that someone who was Mekadosh HaNisha tried to Mekadosh HaNisha with stolen goods, and it came to Rava, and Rava said, don't worry about it. There was no Yush, therefore there's nothing to worry about. Implying that if there would have been Yush, then there would have been everything to worry about. Why? How would the Kedushin have worked? After all, we all know that Yush is not koina by Gezela. So the Rashba says, true Yush is not koina, but Yush plus Shini Rishus is koina. Even though Yush plus Shini Rishus is only koina for the kona, it's only koina for the third party. It's not koina for the Gazlan, says the Rashba. It's ridiculous. No one would ever say that the Gazlan is koina with the Yush and Shini Rishus. So how does the Kedushin work? So you see from here, says the Rashba, that all that matters is the Kabbalah Samakabel. So you have so many different Gemaras being thrown around that all addressing the same question. It takes two people under the chuppah. There's the Nosein and there's the Makabel. Who does the halacha really concern with? Is it really so important that the Nosein gives, or is it much more important that the Makabel gets? So how many different sugyas we have? We have our sugya, right? The sugya Shnei Ben Asayich. Right, what other sugya we have? We have it. If a Kanaini depends upon this, what other sugyas are shedding light on this? The Gemara about Mekadesh Bewat, Bedmei, Isuri Hanoh is relevant to this. Now we have the Gemara about Mekadesh, Leachayush. All these Gemaras are all flying around in all directions, all addressing the same question. So the Rashba was the main breakthrough yesterday. The Rashba's Raya, that from the Sugi Mekadosh Lechayush, you see from here, this is the main Sugi, you see from here that all that really matters is the Makabel. So we said yesterday that others disagree with the Rashba, because others disagree with that Raya. Who was the Barpluk of the Rashba? Remembers? The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says, no, we misunderstood what that Gemara meant when the Gemara said, the Mekadosh Lechayush is Chal. Yeah, it's working with Torah's Yush and Shini Rishus, but Yush and Shini Rishus, the object is nicked to the Gazlan at the same moment that he's being Mishana Rishus. So it's not like the Rashba's portrayal of Yush and Shini Rishus, that the Lekech is Zoycha and the Gazlan had nothing. At the time that the Lekech is Zoycha, the Gazlan also was Zoycha, and then the Gazlan immediately transfers over to the Lekech. So we spoke a lot about that, Bechorikis Rashba in the Ritva. So before we move on to the last part of our sugya, there's just one last nekuda in terms of that Raya of the Rashba, that perhaps one can deflect the Raya of the Rashba in another way. But the Rashba's whole Raya was all assuming that Yush is not koina. Remember that? That was the whole Rashba. The whole Rashba was because Yush is not koina. Everybody under the sun knows that Yush is not koina. The only way for Yush to be koina is mitzuraf with Shini Rishus, which means the lekech, yes, the Gazlan, no, and done it up. And therefore, we've discovered America. That was the Rashba's Mahalach. That's so simple. Everybody knows that Yeshua is not Koyde. I know a very great person who didn't know that. Who was that great person? Who was a great, great person who never heard that Yeshua is not Koyde? He thought his yeshiva that Yeshua is Koyde. Rabba, Amar Rabba. Hada Amar Rabbanan Yesh Koyde. I don't know, says Rabba. I'm a comment after I didn't read this Gemara together yesterday. Says Rabba, I don't know why. Well, I don't know to what extent Yeshua is Koyde. I don't know whether it's Koyde Midiraisa. I don't know whether it's Koyde Midirabbanan. The fact that it's Koyde, I don't even have a lid. It's a suffix, says Rabba. It was Rav Yosef who changed the tune. He changed the world. He says, no, you discovered the wrong America, wrong country. Sorry. He says, it's not America. It's China. It's India. Somewhere else. So Rav Yosef was the one who was mechadash that Yeshua is not Koyde. And we, for the last half hour, including yesterday's Shia, we were assuming that Rav Yosef is right, Rav Yosef is right, Rav Yosef is right. So what's the Gemara talking about in Kedushin of Nun Beis? So comes the Rosh and says no, an about face. That may be the only way to understand the Gemara in Kedushin of Nun Beis is, in fact, that Yush is, believe it or not, maybe Koyne, maybe the Chumra, maybe for Kedushin. Maybe we're not so convinced that Yush is not Koyne, that Yush is nothing. I think I put it on the Mamre Kemis. No, I put the Rosh in the Mamre Kemis. You didn't put it on? We should have put it on. Where is it? The wrong Mamre Kemis. This is tomorrow. This is the next year. So here's Mamre Kemis. Hold on. This Mamre Kemis. What number was it? So after Rosh, it's Vavakama. Vakaimalan Karaba. Says the Rosh, unlike everything we've been talking about all day yesterday, we all like Rabba. V'kana yush l'chumra. V'im, let's keep it next two words. V'im kidesh isha b'gzeh l'achi yush tricha get. D'rabba sovar d'l'chol ha'pachas kana mid'rabbanan. So we're not going to have mid'ar ra'is that's tachanat koine. But at least mid'rabbanan would be koine, which is exactly what Rava tells us on Naftan Be'ezim and Be'ezim, Masechus Kedushin. So we spent a whole shiur yesterday trying to understand the Gemara in Masechus Kedushin Naftan Be'ez in light of the fact that everybody knows we pass like Rav Yosef. So the Rashi went in his way, the Ritzvah went in his deflection, right? Comes the Rosh and says, there was no Raya, there was nothing to discuss. You made a whole tumult out of nothing. All the Gemara meant to say is, Leis the Chash to Rabbi Shimon, because if Rabbi Shimon was right that there would be Yush, then Yush would have been kind of beat mid the Rabbanan, and then we would have required again in a love of the Rabbanan. So when all the dust settles, we're not learning the Sugya of Yush and Shin Rishus right now. Coming back to our Sugya, do we know anything absolute convincing him in Osir Makabel? Do we have any Raya Bruish Enel Atshuva that you do follow the Nice, that you do follow the Makabel? The Beis Ben Osayach? We have no idea. Tais at his Pshat, Tamar Rash, but his Pshat, Tais Rid, his Pshat, we have no idea. Evet Kenaini, we have Tzaisim Reb Chaims, we don't know, where to put ourselves. But Kaddish Rid Beis, we have no, we have a Rashba, but we have reason to believe that others disagree. But Kaddish Rid Achayush, we have a Rashba, true, but we have a Ritva, we have a Rash. So we have four possible Gemaras that are impacting our Sugya, and we have absolutely lack of clarity from any of them. What a tremendous surprise. We've never reached this point before in our entire existence. So Rabbi said, let's move on. Maybe we have something else. So let's read a Rambam together. Read a few Rambams together. Yeah, we're going to put Kedushin on the back burner for a little while. A little Erevin right now. It's a nice little change in pace. We got a little bit of ABCs about Erevin, and then we'll see where we go from there. We need an introduction to the introduction of the introduction of the Rambam before we can even begin to discuss the introduction to the next part of the sugya. So just in case you think we're finishing the sugya so fast, hang in there. Okay, we'll start with the basics, the ABCs. This week's parsha. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, right? And you know? How are you not allowed to carry on Shabbos? Ooh, that's a tricky pasuk. That pasuk may be talking about going chutz v'tchum. We're not even sure it's talking about carrying. Big question. How are you not allowed to carry on Shabbos?
Carry the Mishkan.
Because they used to carry in the Mishkan. We all know what they did in the Mishkan. When I ask such a silly question, how do you know you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to sow on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to ride on Shabbos? The answer is, it says in the Halakha Torah, Lo Sasaka Malacha, was Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu, that the word Malacha is translated to mean Malachas HaMishkan. whatever went into the Mishkan, so those who learned Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Yachab, Akudeh properly and understood, didn't just kind of, you know, skim it over, but those who actually paid attention and really, really understood the Amkas Advarim knew right away that there were certain malachas that they had to do in terms of the construction of the Mishkan. So comes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos and tells us we have a tradition that one of the things that they did in the Mishkan was they carried, when they used to set up camp and under the camp, they had to take the krushim, the boards, had to put them onto the wagons, take them off the wagons. The wagons I mentioned in Parshas Noso. So you have to take the boards off the street onto the wagons. The wagons were Rishasa Yochid, the streets were Rishasa Rabim. So they were carrying back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So Gemara says Beferish that the reason why Otsar is Osar, I mean, the reason why the source that Otsar is Osar, because that's what they used to do in the Mishkan. And yet all of a sudden, in the beginning of Perek HaZerek, in the 11th Perek of Masechah Shabbos, so my son, Me'erav, had a Ha'arah to me this week. He's learning Masechah Shabbos now. So, besides Babasha, that's another story, but he said to me that he came to the realization, he hasn't finished the Masechta yet, but there's an unbelievable amount of Masechah Shabbos about Hotzah. He's totally right. Half of the first perek is Hotzah, the fifth perek is Hotzah, the sixth perek is related to, fifth and sixth are related to Hotzah, the eighth is Hotzah, half of the ninth is Hotzah, the tenth is Hotzah, the 11th is Hotzah, half of the Masechta is Hotzah, and then, in case you didn't get enough, all of the Masechta Erevin is about Hotzah as well. So the amount of time and effort that's dedicated to Tashma Bet Hotzah is very, very significant in terms of Hashem. So he asked me why that's so. So whatever, another question, another time, another place. Fine. The Gemara says in the beginning of Perek HaZerek that how do you know you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos? So the Gemara quotes Psukim in Parshas Vayakel, because the people were bringing the stuff to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, they had a big appeal for the Mishkan, Matzah Yom Kippur. They started a big appeal for the Mishkan, and everybody was giving a lot of stuff. It was the first time and last time ever in history that the appeal reached a point where the Gabbayim says, no more money, we have enough. Can you imagine? I told this to my Shul the Shabbos. I said, imagine, we reached a point where our Torah has finished, we raised enough money, please don't donate anymore. Never see such a thing. Okay. But Moshe Rabbeinu told them, stop bringing this stuff. And he stopped, told them, the malacha is enough. I'm malacha ha'isa da'yev ha'isir. It's enough. There's no more malacha. Don't do it anymore. What were they doing? They weren't doing malacha. What were they doing? They were bringing. They were bringing stuff. So the Gemara explains, we have a tradition, that story in Parshas Vayakel happened on Shabbos. These people were bringing their gold and their silver on Shabbos. And Moshe says, stop. It's enough already. You can't carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, from Zeman from Da, that you're not allowed to carry, that's, you see that the Torah calls carrying a malacha, and you can't carry in Shabbos. So what's the famous kasha?
That was before Mishkan.
It was before Mishkan. Why is that a kasha? What's the Avis kasha? Avis kasha. What do you need an extra pasuk for? I need a pasuk to tell me you can't carry. I don't have a pasuk that says you can't sew on Shabbos, and a pasuk that says you can't be machmir patish. A pasuk says you can't be osa shtein batinirin. I wouldn't even know what that meant, even if they told me in the pasuk. There's no malacha that says you can't do each of the malachas. The Torah says don't do malacha. Malacha shteit malacha zamishkan. If anything that was malacha zamishkan is called lasaska malacha, so why do I need a special pasuk for? So that's Taisa's famous kashta beis masechah Shabbos malacha guru. We spent a lot of time talking about this in masechah Shabbos. So, but at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, so avada the din is that you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos. That's an issur derais and no shadows whatsoever. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos writes that yadua umafursam, says the Rambam, but called the Ram says the basic thrust of all of the Shabbos was Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously, Otsah was Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu. The Din of Rishus HaYochid were Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hagdoras of Rishus HaRam, all the Din of Rishus. Gemara says that Mechitza Salach L'Moshe Mesinai. So all the basic ABCs of Hilchos Erevin, of Hilchos Shabbos, were all Nimsa L'Moshe Rabbeinu and HaSinai. So obviously, Hotzah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. So the Rambam writes, Afal Pichein was written into the Torah Shemachsav also. So the Baruch Shalom put certain things, there are certain things that the Baruch Shalom remained to be Baal Peh, and there are certain things he put into the Torah Shemachsav also. So out of all the Lamites Balachas, even though they were all Nimsil and Moshe Rabbeinu, this particular Balach of Hotzah somehow got special mention in the Torah Shemachsav. Again, it's a whole another question, why certain things are singled out for Torah Shemachsav or not. But at the end of the day, Hotzah, the Ikari HaTaira, and Kaf Nimsil and Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Isser of carrying on Shabbos is all the Hakdama. We're learning Kiddushin. We didn't get sidetracked yet. Well, we did, but not fully. The Isser D'Araisa of carrying on Shabbos is only violated in one of three scenarios. If a person carries from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, or if a person carries Dalat Amos within a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says Beferish, these are the three deraisas of carrying on Shabbos. And then, of course, you need a lot of work to understand, well, what is a Rishus HaYochid? What is a Rishus HaRabim? So you got to learn all the Shabbos, all of Erevin, to figure out what these terms even mean. But Min HaTorah, there's no violation of Hotzah unless you have a Rishus HaRabim in the picture. You could theoretically have an area that's complete Rishus HaYochid, because the basic definition of Rishus HaYochid, what is the basic elementary definition of Rishus HaYochid? An area that's what? That's surrounded by mechitzas. According to most Rishonim, three mechitzas, maybe around four mechitzas, but an area surrounded by mechitzas. Fine. So if I have an area that there are a lot of people living there, it's a very public type of a space, but lamais that's surrounded by mechitzas, so Min HaTorah, you're allowed to carry there. It's one big Rishus HaYochid. So now you have a very strange situation. You have this area, we'll call it like a courtyard, and you have a little house over here, and a little house over here, a little house over here, a little house over here. Everyone owns a little house. And this area is the common area. So a guy walks out of his house carrying something on Shabbos. He walks from here to here. Another guy walks from here to here. Everyone's walking in and out. The guy's walking back into his house, etc. And according to the perception of people, they're all carrying on Shabbos. Because each one is going out of their private house into the public area. Now, not everybody learned all of Maseches Erevin. Not everybody realizes that, the reason why that's okay is because we're all surrounded by these mechitzas far in the background, namely the walls of the chatzer, the walls of the koyah that separate us from the main street. But not everyone chaps that. So many people are going to think, if I'm allowed to carry from this house to this area, from this house to this house, etc., what's the difference if I carry from here to here into the main thoroughfare, which of course would be an Issa Deraisa. So therefore Chazal were very, very worried about this perception, this misunderstanding of people. You see that Chazal made a lot of gzeiras, a lot of dim drabana that we have, because people, the Torah is given to human beings, but Bosabadam make mistakes. Bosabadams have misperceptions. Sometimes people say, oh come on, the rabbis, we shouldn't take into consideration the mistakes people make. We should just do things that are right. What do you mean don't take into consideration mistakes? So then you just threw away the entire Din Derabanan. All of Din Derabanan are based on the fact people are going to make mistakes. If people don't make mistakes, then what do you need gzeiras for? No one's going to do anything wrong. So obviously, we're dealing with real people who have real misunderstandings. So Chazal were very, very worried about this misunderstanding. Which period in time did they come to this realization that this is just too risky? And whose period of time? Way before Beishim. Days of Shlomo HaMelech. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was very smart. He was a chacham b'kol adam. But he looked around and he saw not everyone was as smart as he was. So Shlomo realized that if we let people follow this din deraisa, it's going to lead to big mistakes in carrying on Shabbos. So therefore, him and his beis din came with this following idea. That anytime you have an area that, although Min HaTorah is Rishus HaYochid because it has walls, if you have Chilukei Rishuyos, Zemizeh, that's already a problem. If I carry from Reuven's house to Shimon's house, or from Reuven's private house to public Reuven / Shimon's house, anytime you transfer from one Rishus to another, even though Min HaTorah, it's all one big Rishus, one big happy Rishus HaYochid, anytime you carry from one Rishus to another, that's automatically a problem. A Gezeira Otto carrying in Rishus HaRabim. That was the institution of Shlomo HaMelech. That was Tikkun Erevin. That was Maseches Erevin. I mean, there are parts of Maseches Erevin that are derais also, but a good chunk of Maseches Erevin deals with the Kana Shlomo HaMelech and his beis din called, don't carry Rishus Lishus, even though everything is a Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah. In case any of you think that, oh, come on, that wasn't such a good gezeira. Come on, that was so far-fetched. It was such a silly gezeira that Shlomo HaMelech made. Come on, he should have stuck to, building base of mikdashes and writing shir shirims and cutting babies in half. Come on, what do you have to build like Erevin for? Come on, it wasn't such a good idea. So just in case you have that thought, you have been overturned by the Rabban Shlomo, because the Gemara says that B'shasha, Hiskin Shlomo Erevin, so the Baskel came down for Shemayim and says, B'niyim yismach libcha yismach libi gamani, that Rabban Shlomo gave a stamp of approval on Maseches Erevin. So a big Maseches Erevin with an art scroll, Gemara came down from Shemayim saying, good idea, great call, Erevin's a great idea. And we thus became part of Tosh Rabbi. Okay, good. So back to the story. So how do you get around this problem? So now he just made life impossible for us. So I have a backyard, or let's say, Bismarck have a lobby, have an apartment building. So you have 20 apartments and one lobby, one hallway, and no one's allowed to carry anymore. Because min haTorah you're allowed, but min derabbanan not allowed to carry. So Shlomo HaMelech came up with a solution also. See, he didn't just create a problem, he created a solution also. He said, the solution to the problem is that the whole problem was, is that there were chilukei rishuyos one from another. What if we could turn this area into one big rishus? Mamish one big rishus. So let's say my own house. So in my house, within the confines of my own living room, my own dining room, I'm allowed to carry. Why? Because that's not chilukei rishuyos. That's one, that's mamish one house. It's one family. No one's going to mix up your living room with the rishus harabim. Someone would mix up if I go from my living room to your living room. But if it's all one big living room, no one's going to make a mistake. So Shlomo HaMelech said, what we're going to do is like this. We're going to institute a way that people, it's all for people, for Baal Batim, to realize that this is not no longer five different houses here. It's one big family, one big house. How do you do that? How do you take five different people and make them into one? So the answer is, you make one the Baal Bas, and everyone else becomes guests in that house. So that you can have 100 people visiting, but if there's one Baal Bas, then that's not Chilukei Rishuyos anymore. So how do you do that? So what really should happen is that, let's say, I have this house. So everyone should be my guest. Everyone should come and move into my house for Shabbos. Right? Everyone should come and bring their clothes for Shabbos, bring their food, bring their beds, bring their kids, just camp out of my house. That should solve the problem of the Tachanas HaChamim, of the Isra of Erevin. So Shlomo HaMelech had Rachmanus and Klal Yisrael, Rachmanus and the women who don't want to have everybody over for Shabbos. So you know, you don't really have to come. Just symbolically come. Just send something. What do you send? What's the most important thing that a person has in their house on Shabbos? Everyone needs food, right? Food. That's where people's minds are, where the food is. So Shlomo HaMelech said like this. Let everybody send a little bit of food from before Shabbos. And we'll take all of your food and we'll put it in one house. And once we put all the food in this one house, it'll turn out everybody really lives in this house. This is the Mokam Dira now for everybody. And once you say this is the Mokam Dira for everybody, then we view this whole area as basically one big, what we call a Chatzim Urevis, like Erevin. It's all mixed together. It's now one big happy family. Nobody really lives in the other houses anymore. Everybody really lived in this house. This is where their pasta is. This is where their lechem is. Lechem is the main part of the meal. And this becomes the new Mokam Dira for everybody, and thereby alleviating the entire problem of carrying on Shabbos in these areas, which anyway, Minotaur, you're allowed to carry. That was the rationale. That was Shlomo Melech's problem. And that was the solution. And that thus began the Takana, what's called the Takana of Erev Chetzeres. So we do this Ad Hayom Hazeh. This is exactly what we do. When we build an Erev, so what we do is first, that's a misnomer, Erev is not what we do. First we build mechitzas around the area, because if you don't have mechitzas, then you can't carry at all. It's out of the question. So we build Tzuras HaPesach, some mechitzas around the area, and we colloquially call it an Erev, because we have, in Yiddish you call it an Erev, nothing else to call it. It's really called the Tzuras HaPesach. So when you call up on Friday afternoon, you call the Erev hotline and want to know, is the Erev down? So what you should really ask is the Tzuras HaPesach down? To ask where the Erev down is to ask, is the box of matzahs fallen onto the floor? So but that's in Yiddish, we call it an Erev. Fine. So after we construct mechitzas around the town that we want to, assuming that we could do that with Tzuras HaPesach and wise and fences and ma'aseh, so then we have to make an Erev Chetzeres, because if you don't make an Erev Chetzeres, then you still can't carry mid derabbanan. So that's exactly what we do. So really what should happen is everybody should bring some challah, bring some matzah, and put it in one person's house. So we don't do that, because that takes forever. 1,000 people in town, it's going to take every week to do that, it's going to be silly. So what we do is like this. The Mishnah says, if you want to do it in an easier way, is one guy goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs, and he picks up the matzahs to be mezak the matzahs to everybody in town, based on the principle of Zoch Lem Shlom Befonav. Everybody has a share in the matzahs, and once everybody has a share in the matzahs, you put it in one house, and sure, everybody lives in this house. So that's exactly what we do, Adayim Ezeh, right out of the Mishnah Masechet Erevin. This is all thanks to Shlomo HaMelech and his Beis Din. We had a problem, we came up with a solution. Zoch Lem Shlom Befonav helped us do it a little bit more efficient way, and Sholah Yisrael. Everything's great. No, because once it's all one house, then everything is just considered to be an extension of that one house. They're all one. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know exactly what they are. Something like that.
No one knows about the Eshkaseris, and isn't that the people of
this? Well, we should tell everybody. Everyone should know about it. So we should. The rabbi should. That's why the rabbis have to give shiur. That's why I'm giving shiur now about it. Everyone should know about it. When you go back to LA, you'll know exactly all about it. Okay, it's understood. Once every 7 years, everybody learns Erevin. They're learning Daf Yomi. So everyone hopefully will know what's going on. Okay, so far so good. So everything is, as we say, Shalom al Yisrael. Except there's a problem. What's the problem? What about the Goyim? Where do they fit into this picture? So Shalom Yisrael is nice, but what about the non-Yisraelim? So what happens to them? So in this Chatzis of Kozman, that this is Reuven, and this is Shimon, this is Levi, this is Yehuda, this is Gevaldik. I'll leave this guy out here. Now we'll make a couple more houses here, okay? And this is Moshe, that's Gevaldik. But now I got another house here. Who lives in this house?
Stefan.
Is that a ball player? No. What? Hockey player. Okay, good. Give me a command. Come on, Mr. Alter. Out of all the gracious names you can come up with, come on.
Pete. Lou.
Pete. Lou.
Frederick.
You guys are getting worse and worse.
John.
Little John. Okay, we need another one. Need another guy here.
LeBron.
What?
LeBron.
LeBron.
It's too good.
Too big. Okay.
And
William. Zell Velvels, William. Great name. Oh, come on. Give me a quick one. Bruce. Chris. Okay, Chris. John and Chris. Okay. So John and Chris now live in this chotzer with Reuven, Yankov, Shimon, Levi, Hida, Moshe, whatever. It's John and Chris. So we have a big problem. Because Lechora, they pose the same problem. Now, it's kind of silly to say that, well, no problem, let John and Chris give some of them, give some challah, give some matzah to the Erev also. John and Chris going to give matzah to the Erev? What Indian matzah to John and Chris? What are they doing matzah? They don't do matzah, flat bread on Passover. They don't know what you're talking about. It's not misyaches to them, this whole concept. So now what do we do? So now, unfortunately, Shlomo HaMelech hasn't been able to solve the problem. Bishlam in the good old days, back in Shlomo HaMelech's days, when Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Goyim weren't too many Goyim around, they weren't living in Achatzeris, so everything was Gevaldik. But now, Nebuch, we live in Bergenfield, we live in other places, we live in Poland, we live in Germany, we live in Spain, there are Goyim all in our backyards also. So we have a problem. How are we going to solve the problem? Close by the John and Chris are still living in our backyards. What are we going to do about that? So that was a machlekes hatanoim. What do you do about that? Do you have to address that issue or not? So the Gemara raises the question, whether diras akum shma dira or not. Maybe you could argue that the whole concept, this whole gezeirah d'rabbanan never applied when they're going there. Somehow, diras akum doesn't count in this whole picture. Again, this is all d'rabbanan anyway. So Chazal masakin it, that only diras Yisrael posed a problem. Diras akum doesn't really pose a problem. So Gemara says, you're right, that's taka the answer. That's the solution to the problem. The dearest Akam is not really a problem. But then the Mishnah Eirvin has a startling statement. It quotes the name of one of the Tanaim, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says as follows, that if, this is all again the introduction, we're trying to go back to Pesach's Kedushin, but somebody said that if the Baal HaBatim don't know about Eirvin, it's not going to work, so we're trying to teach all the future people about this. So the Gemara says, if Chris moves out, he doesn't like living with all these firmies over here. He doesn't like this whole picture. Guys walking around with taluses on Shabbos. And he doesn't like this. So Chris moved out. Only John is left. He's the Shabbos guy. So he's the guy left here. So the Mishnah says that all you have is John. So then you're okay. Then make an Erev Chatzeres and forget about John and Shalom Yisrael. You don't have to worry about John. He's not a problem. The minute that Chris moves back into town, then the Mishnah says, then you have a problem. Then you're really, really in a pickle. Why? What's the problem? If you hold that Diras Akum is a Dira, then John himself should pose a problem. If you hold that Diras Akum is not a Dira, then John, Chris, Bartholomew, and Stefan, and LeBron, and everybody all together, why should anybody? Maya Manishnana, there's a second guy here, all of a sudden you have a problem. That's the Gemara. At the beginning, the first second of the sixth paragraph of Erevin is Bob with that cash. The Gemara says, no. La'oilam, Diras Akum lo shma Dira. That in terms of pure Hilchas Erevin, in terms of pure Hilchas Erevin, we don't really have a problem here. Because Diras Akum, in its purity of halacha, is not really a concern. But there was a new din derabbanan that was instituted. I don't know what Shlomo HaMelech made this. I don't know. Somebody made this takana. Sometime between Shlomo HaMelech and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, in the days of the Tanoim, somebody came with the following, another Beis Din HaGadol came with the following gezeira. We don't like this setup over here. Of John and Chris I put two goyim here. I'm sorry. I meant to put two Jews here. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm gonna backtrack for a minute. Okay, do that for a second. We don't like this. We don't like this setup when you have a goy living in the chotzer together with the Jews. Why not? What's bothering us? What are we concerned with? Gezeira shamayim b'maisav. That's not a good idea. The Jews don't have to be living mamish on top of the goy. It's not such a good influence on them. And therefore, we're going to try to do whatever we can to try to separate things a little bit. We'd rather have, we want to be polite, we want to be courteous, say Kiddush Hashem, but we'd rather living amongst people who have a better influence on us. The goyim live not such an influence on us. In short, Gezeira shamayim b'maisav. So Chazal didn't like the setup of having the Jews and the goyim mamish share in the backyard, having this palsy-walsy sholem al Yisrael and ben akob. Not a good idea. So therefore, they try to come up with an incentive to break up this type of living situation. So what was the incentive? They said as follows. You're going to have a lot of trouble making an Erev here. It's going to be really, really hard for you to make an Erev here. Why? Because the guy is causing a problem. You won't be able to carry in Shabbos. No one's going to want to live in a neighborhood without an Erev. Well, the real estate agents know that. That no one buys a house outside of the Erev. That's the old chap. Anyone know a little about real estate? It's really very simple. Don't tell anybody. If you want to buy a cheap house, what do? Seriously, I kid you not. If you want to buy a cheap house in a community, so you buy one block past where the Erev is because it's significantly cheaper, and then you convince the community to extend the Erev for a block. It costs you significantly less money to extend the Erev for a block than it costs you to pay for the price of the real estate within the walls of the Erev. That's just a trick that people have. Whether it's a nice trick or a bad trick, I'm not sure, but that's the reality. So nobody wants to live without the ability to be able to carry in Shabbos. So Chazal said, okay, we're going to make life really, really hard for you in Shabbos. It's going to be almost impossible for you to live here because John, Chris, Paul, Bathar, they're all causing problems. You're not going to be able to carry in Shabbos. So we're going to give you a solution. There's a way to get rid of John and Chris, the Erevin issues. You know how? Rent out their rights in the Chotzer. Go to John, Erev Shabbos, and say to him, listen, I want to rent out all your rights to this backyard. Schiris Rishos. And if you do this, so that'll, then you can make your own Erev. So Chazal instituted, make a Schiris Rishos. And if and when you do a Schiris Rishos, you don't really need it, because Diris Hakam Lashma Diris. So pure Hilchos Erevin wouldn't require it. But Chazal made this kunz and said, do a Schiris Rishos. And if you do a Schiris Rishos, then and only then will we let you make an Erev Chatzeris. What was Chazal hoping is going to happen? He's going to say no. And Rashi writes in Masechet Erevin, you're going to have to do this every week. Because somehow nobody figured out in the days of Chazal, you could do it once for 20 years. Well, we'll see. Maybe you can't. But Rashi says you're going to have to do it every week. Every week you're going to knock on John's door and say, I'd like to rent out all your rights in the Chotzer for a nickel for the whole Shabbos. So the first week or two he'll be nice about it. And then he'll think you're a pest. And then you got to knock on Chris's door and then LeBron's. Every door. What's going to happen when all the dust settles? What's going to happen? What are you going to do? You won't be able to have an Erev because he's going to say no. And what's going to happen? What are you going to do next? You move out. And where are you going to move? Where you belong. You move to New Square, exactly where you're supposed to be. But all that you did, and you will solve the whole problem. There won't be Shem Yom Ma'isav. That was the goal. That was the sociological goal of this whole picture. So I should take in the first sugya in the sixth back with seventh Erev. So I made a mistake when I put John and Chris. What I meant to draw is as follows. I'm sorry about that. The Gemara says that this whole problem only exists, let's say if you have Reuven, Shimon, and John. So you have two Jews and one guy, then this whole fear is, two Jews, one guy is there, Shamir me myself. What would the din be if it's just Reuven and John? There is nobody else. If there's nobody else, the Gemara says, then guess what? You know what you don't have to do? You don't have to bother doing a Schiris Rishos. Why not? I would say that's the worst case scenario. Just Reuven and John are living together in the backyard. He said, it'll be terrible. He'll be his only friend. Why do you think? Anyone figure out why? B'chi ha-gavna, there's no need. If there's no other Yisrael with you, then you don't have to make any Schiris Rishos at all. What? If you're growing up against what? Shem Yomi myself? Let me figure out why. No, you should have to do a schiris reshus. If I don't do a schiris reshus, I don't have to make an erev chatzeris. There's no one to make with. But shouldn't I have to do a schiris reshus against John? Shouldn't there be the same concern?
Well, if the schiris, if the living of Yaakov is in the Dira, Reuven's the only Jew there, and the entire chatzer belongs to him. So it's
no, but once the Rabban and they're Mesach and they have to do schiris reshus, that means they're treating the goy's Dira like a Dira on the level of the Rabban. So you know why the Gemara says, you know why you don't have to do it? It's a milsa de lo shchicha. You would never in a million years live with a goy alone, just you and the goy. You know why? Sorry. You're afraid he's going to... Who would ever... He's going to live? This is... You're talking about in the Middle Ages. You're talking about barbarians. You're talking about... You know, you're talking about... It would never happen. The Gemara says that once in a billion years a Meshuggah is going to live in such a situation. Adkan, the first daf in the sixth parak of Maseches Erev. This was the introduction to the introduction to the introduction. Because of this whole Chagadja, Chazal and Masake, in this new principle called Chiras Rishos on Shabbos. So the only way to be able to carry in any given area on Shabbos, three things have to happen. First of all, what's the first thing you must do before you can carry anywhere? You have to make sure you have mechitzas, your wires, your tzitzis, your fences, your wall, whatever, mechitzas. Then you have to go to all the goyim and make sure that they're all going to rent out all their rights of their property to you. And then, after all that, then you could do an Erev Chatzeres. And then and only then is this whole trick going to work. So this is exactly what we do. We do all three of these steps. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Most Rabbanim will be doing this third step next week. Erev Chatzeres, usually we make a new one every Erev Pesach. It's usually throughout last year's matzahs. Yeah.
You do
spiritual
shits not only with the goyim, but with the Jews.
No, who does spiritual shits with Jews?
Can you do that? And then you
oh, you mean can you substitute? That's Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, yeah, if you can do Erev Chatzeres, for sure you can do Chiras Rishos. Some Rishonim say, no, Chiras Rishos was a fluke that was instituted only for the Goyim. For the Jews, you have to do Erev Chatzeres. Just purely technical. How do we do this today? This becomes really, really messy. Knock on every single guy's door and in the neighborhood and say, would you like to please rent out your entire rights to all the streets for the Shabbos and for the next 20 years or something? So usually, that's not going to work. It's going to take a long, long time. So the Gemara says that Chazal and Mekel, that you don't have to go to the Balabayas. You have to go to anyone who has access to his house. It's called Tzchir Lakito, a worker in his house, someone who can usually come in and out, has the keys, has the access to his backyard. So that's good enough. He can represent the owner, even though the owner himself didn't really know what was going on. So what traditionally has been done already for hundreds and hundreds of years is that we go to the government authorities, those people who have access to houses. We need some legal help here, Mr. Alter. Right? So who can get into the house if they have to?
In Europe, the government.
The government. Okay, who could get into your house if they really have to? Bisman Hazeh. The police. If they get a warrant, they can, right? So usually what we do is we try to do a Shchiras Rishos with the chief of the police. That's usually the minig in most communities. They try to do that. Then they throw into the borough president and the mayor and that general jurisdiction. So we assume that all those people combined together will have some kind of access if and when. They definitely have access to the streets and they probably have to some degree access to the houses also. So we assume that that's technically speaking okay. What do you mean? They're planning on... I say to them, listen, I don't have to automatically, move into the lobby with all my furniture, but I'm renting out that, in theory, I have some access to that lobby.
Wouldn't the Jewish people be able to just walk into Gaim's houses then if it's a real steers? Then how is it a genuine steers?
Okay, so the steers doesn't have to be the absolutely up-to-par steers. The whole thing was mid-Rabbanon, so the Gemara speaks about steers ru'ua. It's to be quasi-steers. There is a issue, Bizman Hazeh, what a lot of people in apartment buildings do. Instead of doing it, let's say if you want to make an Erev just in a very, very small Erev of an apartment building, so usually what we do is you go to the super of the building. Because the super has a lot of free rein into the building. So the poskim write that the super has access to the lobbies, to the basement, to the hallways. But does the super really can mamish get into your house? I mean, if you lock the door, if you buy another lock, you can't really get into it. Very often the super has the keys, but you can lock them out. That's a big, big chiddush. That's a big machlekes whether that works or not. The Gemara talks about tefisas yad, but most poskim held tefisas yad only applies if the landlord is still using those appliances. Here, in the cases of the apartment buildings, he's renting out the appliance. He's renting out the fridge. He's renting out the stove. So that was machlekes Ramosha. Ramosha was very makel about this, and most of the other poskim didn't accept that. So we try lechatchila for sure in an apartment building. If there's no eruv, we will make an eruv in the apartment building. We'll make a Shchiras Rishos and an Erev Chatzeres in the apartment building. Most of you guys never even heard of the notion of making an Erev Chatzeres because you all live in communities where there are Erevin in the whole town. So, you know, you're not even in sync with this whole idea. But when I grew up, as a little boy in Riverdale, there was no Erev in Riverdale yet. I was much older. So I remember when we made an Erev Chatzeres in our building, when the first time I was a little boy. So last week at the Chag HaSmicha, they gave Smicha to... They gave an honor to people who had received Smicha 50 years before. So one of the Rabbanim, who was at that Chag HaSmicha, used to live in my building when I was a little boy. So, and he was the one who had made the Erev, so I'm talking about now, 51, see, it was about 45 years ago or so, first time I remember. So I remember he gathered all the firm people together and explained to them, he bought a box of matzahs, explained to them, but he went to the super and he gave him a quarter and he got a whole to-do. So I came up to me after the Chag HaSmicha and I said to him, I just want to thank you. You were my first Rebbe in Yichas Erevin. You know what I was talking about. I said, you taught me 45 years ago about how to make an Erev Chatzeres. So that was the first time I ever saw an Erev Chatzeres being made at that time. Anyway, so this is what we do at Lamais all the time. So we're, yeah.
How does this help?
We don't, how are we having a Kedushin? No, you can ask a question. This is just so exciting. Everyone should know this stuff. This is like Judaism 101, yeah.
How does this help, though, when you have like a regular street, like a public street? Like, how is that?
What do you mean?
I'm going from my public street to my friend's.
No, but it's all we all live in one person's house.
I thought it was only talking about this is a Rishus Yachid.
No, because we put mechitzas all around it. We put mechitzas all around it, so we made it into one big chatzer. We built telephone poles with wires, with fences, and everything. If you don't do that, then this is all a game. First, you have to build an Eruv, and after you build an Eruv, then you have to do Chiris or Shos and Eruv Chatzeres. So you made it one big, big, big happy family. Where do you live now? Where?
Skokie.
So let's go. The Heights, okay, so I don't know if I should give the example of the Heights as an Erev, depending on which side, who you think is running the Heights. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay, got the basic picture. Okay, good. So basically, getting back to the story, so in apartment buildings, it's a little bit tricky because you go, the minute is we go to the super. So the super can get into your apartment, not so posh, but the super does have rights to the building, to the lobbies and the basements, the hallways, so they quote a rivash that says that if you have a worker who doesn't have access to the private houses, but he has access to all the public areas, so then the Shechiras Hashiras works vis-a-vis the public areas and not vis-a-vis the houses. So what does that mean? If I want to carry to the goy's apartment on Shabbos, I can't do that. I can carry into the hallway, because the goy's out of the hallway, he's been pushed out, he did a Shechiras Hashiras in the hallway, but I technically can't carry into his house. So who cares? Who's carrying him? Who's going to the goy's house? Who's going to the goy's house all week? Who's going on Shabbos? So that's what many people rely on when we make Erev in apartment buildings alone. So big deal. So we're mevatel, we're meichel zayin on the apartments. So as long as we have the hallways, what do we need the apartments for? Until Washington Heights, 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago. 19 years ago. The following crisis arose. In Washington Heights. We had an Erev. The Erev in Washington Heights was Hakol Mikol Kol one block. It didn't even cross Amsterdam Avenue at the time. It just connected from the apartment buildings on 187th all the way as far as Reuben. So you were able to walk. The women, if they wanted to go to shul, they can daven in Reuben. That was the extent of the one sidewalk. That was it. And the Shechiras Hashiras that we did was we went to each of the couple of apartments, a couple of owners of the apartment buildings. We went to a couple of the supers, and sure, we built an Erev, and we had a Shechiras Hashiras and Erev Chatzeres, and everything was Shalom HaYisrael. I remember that the first Shabbos, when the Erev was supposed to be up, one of the supers, we were supposed to do the whole Shechiras Hashiras on Friday afternoon, and one of the supers got an emergency in another building in the Bronx, and he couldn't show up for the Shechiras Hashiras, so we couldn't do it. So we couldn't have the Erev function that week. It happened to have been Pasha Zohar, so people weren't so happy. But that was it. We couldn't get it. So we tried to call the super and ask him, could we call the owner of the building? He was Jewish. It was another Shechir, so a whole Chagadja. And the guy said, the owner of the building said that he can't do this without his lawyer present. He needed a lawyer. So anyway, in the end of the day, we had to wait till Monday to do it. Fine. But so we made a Shechir, so show us everything was Gevaldik, Olam Kibin Hagar Nohig. And then all of a sudden, we came to the following realization that some of us used as a babysitter, one of the non-Jewish women in the neighborhood, Rabina, she's still babysitting, sixth floor of 187th. Some of the people were using her as babysitters, but we didn't use her on Shabbos, but it was Yom Kippur was coming around the corner. And Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry. And I realized that the Shechiras Hashiras that we had made was only good for the hallways, wasn't good for the apartments. And if we want to drop the babies off, bring stuff, bring things to them, diapers, whatever we needed to bring, including carrying the baby themselves into the apartment, that would be a problem on Yom Kippur. So we had to make a new Shechiras Hashiras right before Yom Kippur, specifically with her. Not a Shechiras Hashiras for the supers anymore. We had to make a new one just to be mat there to carry into her apartment, because otherwise we had no halachic access to her apartment. So it was right before Rosh Hashanah that I went there on behalf of all the Shomer Shabbos people in the building. And I said, I want to make a special, unique Sechiras Rosh Hashanah with you. Explain to what it was. And I'm giving you a quarter. For the next 25 years, we should have access to your apartment for this quarter. So it's coming up soon, about 5 years or so. I think she's retiring and moving back to Greece. But if she's still around in 5 years, someone's got to remember to make a new Sechiras Rosh Hashanah. I made it, I think, for 25 years. That's the minig is usually make about 25 years. So I gave her the... I gave her a quarter, and I said, I'm hereby renting your apartment. You know what she said to me? I can't take the money, she said. So I can't. She always took all my babysitting money. I don't have a problem. She wouldn't take the quarter. She would say, I feel bad. How can I take it for religion? Here's it. I said, no. I want you to hold on to the quarter. It's yours. You keep it. It's yours. Do whatever you want with it. It was like Erev Rosh Hashanah. I went to pick up my daughter. She's a little teeny baby. I went to pick her up from the baby, from her, after davening Rosh Hashanah. So she says to me, Rabina, the babysitter, says to me, you know what I did today? I took the kids for a walk when everyone was davening, we were praying. I took the kids for a walk, and I took them to St. Nicholas at 181st Street, and they have the mechanical, you know, the horses. You put a quarter in, and the horse goes up and down. So I felt guilty taking a quarter. I decided I'm going to use that quarter to give a special treat for the holiday for the children. And your daughter was on the horsey on Rosh Hashanah using the quarter from the Sechiras Rosh Hashanah. Since the days of Shlomo HaMelech, I don't think any person was ever Zaychata. So that's, okay, anyway, let's get back to where, this is all, again, this is just to get us back to our sugya. So comes the Gemara in the beginning of the sixth Brach of Masechas Erevin and tells us that when you're doing a Sechiras Rishos, how much you have to give the guy? How much is necessary to give the guy? So the Chari, you should have to give him whatever the bare minimum amount of Sechiras is. How much is the bare minimum bones, the bare bone minimum of Sechiras? A pruta, right? I can only buy things with a pruta. I can buy feel with a pruta. Mistama, that's the shear for schiras also. So the Gemara says, no. Sochim in akam afilu b'pachas a shava pruta. That's okay. You can even give less than a shava pruta. That's all right. You know why it's okay? Why is it all right? So the Gemara says, because from the goy's vantage point, the goy am like even less than a shava pruta. The Gemara says that if one goy steals from another goy, pachas a shava pruta, that's called gezela. That shava pruta is a psa, Jewish shear. The goyim, they never got that halach. That doesn't interest them. For them, even less than a pruta is important. So Gemara says, even though from our vantage point, I'm not really giving anything. Listen to that one, right? I'm not really giving anything, but the goy is getting it, and therefore everything's gevaldik. And therefore the shechiras is chal. And therefore you can carry on Shabbos. And therefore you can ride on a horse in Rosh Hashanah. Everything is gevaldik, because the goy got, even though you didn't give. Okay? Ad kan the introduction. Kumti Avdim Meluim and says, what's the raya? It took us 50 minutes to get to this point. What does Avdim say? What's the raya? I'm affecting a Kenyan Schirus, which is a Kenyan Kesef. How do you acquire Schirus? Kishem Shakarka Niknes Bekesef? Kach Schirus Karka Niknes Bekesef. Fereshi Gemara Metzia. So I have to have the mechanism, a method of a Kenyan Kesef, and I'm using less than a Pruta. How does that work? So the answer is, because from the vantage point of the goy, there's no difference between pachas shor puta and more than shor puta. But the problem is, from the vantage point of who? Of the naisei, namely the Yisrael, I do need a pruta. So how? Hey, chamatzir the vachazach, you have a schirus like this. That the schirus, the kidney cast was chal mitam kabbalas and makabel, and not mitam nesidus ha-naisein? Zokta avnumim zemin fundo, what do you see from here? Like the Rashba said in Kedushin, Zem Fendal, like the Radva says, Zem Fendal, there's no did of Naisen, all you need is a Makabel. So, well, you know, sometimes we think the Heilige Ktsais, I don't mean this in the slightest bit, everyone understands what I mean. He just sat and learned Nashman, Zikin. No, the Ktsais was a buck in Kolotarkul, he knew everything also. So when the Ktsais was learning Kedushin of Zion, and he's trying to make sense out of these Rishayim, the Rashbas, the Ritvas, the Taisis, Rids, the Taisim, is it nice, is it makabal, how do you affect the Kingdom Kesef? So the Ktsais was thinking, he was really thinking, he said, hey, wait a second, there's a Raya from the Din and Hilchas Eirvin tucked away in the sixth Berach of Masechas Eirvin, there's a Raya Brua Shedala Tshuva that all you need is Kabbalah and Makabel, and you don't need Nesidus HaNoisein. As I state in Ktsais, that's a Raya. You wouldn't have thought of that Raya, right? Most people wouldn't have thought of this Raya. This is the fifth Gemara. Schiris Rishos, Bepachos, Mishavapruta. Adkan Divri Avnim Elohim.
Zok the Rambam. Yeah.
The difference between
say, I mean, if we saw this by like a deraisa transaction, it'd be one thing. But then when you say spirits are shuddering, a constant midrabbanan.
I mean, the whole thing is a joke. That's what you mean. It means it make believe spirits are shuddering.
We can't extrapolate.
Oh, tazoy. So come one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Imre Bina, and he says, if you take a look at the Rambam in the 13th in the Ramakrimis, so if anything, you see a riot from the Rambam for care from the Ketzais. Says the Rambam, you can do Schir Sushus even on Shabbos. Obviously not with money, give him something else, give him a piece of challah or something. We're going to skip the next few words. She'ein Schir Vadois. Zok the Rambam, how can you schirus on Shabbos itself? What kind of game is that? You can't do Mechel Memker on Shabbos. What's going on? He says, come on, it's all a big joke. It's not a real schirus. This is all symbolic. It's just a gesture to fulfill this din derabbanan of not living together with the goyim, with the whole 9 yards from the 6th parak of Erevin. It's not real chayshe mishpat. Here, the lawyers don't have to sign off on it. Lefikach zok the Rambam. What is lefikach? Lefikach means therefore. Therefore means because of what I just told you, therefore the following statement is true. Why is the following statement true that seichem and akam filu pachas sheva pruta? Because the whole thing is not real anyway. The whole thing is just b'shem hekir bilvad. What's the mashmos of the Rambam state in Imrevina? The exact opposite of the Ketzais. Lu yitzuya that Chazal would have instituted a real schiras v'shus, if it would have had to be the real McCoy approved and signed off, notarized by the lawyers, so then we would never have let you got away with the pachas sheva pruta. Aye, but for the goy, the pachas sheva pruta is very, very important. What's the problem? It's very important for the goy, but who's it not important for? Not important for the Jew? So if anything, says the Mrevina, you see from the way the Rambam quotes this din, the exact opposite of what the Avnim B'Luim wanted to say. So the Avnim B'Luim looked at the din in a vacuum and said, oh, Sochem and Akal Pach Sharaputa, Gevaldik, you see that all that matters is the Makabal, the Noisin is meaningless. Says in Mervina, you see the exact opposite. That it's only because this is a Kula, Nuchas Erevin, Heker, it's only a Schirus Shal Heker, it's not a real thing. That's why we're willing to let you get away with this cheap kind of Schirus. But if it would have been a real Schirus, it would have required a Pruta. So again, it took us almost an hour to get the introduction. It's always nice to learn a little Erevin. But we have Machloik, the Aine Olam, the Ketzais, and the Imre Bina. What conclusion, if any, should we draw? Should we draw on the conclusion that the Makabal is everything, or the opposite is true, that the Noitzin is significant as well? Rabbi say, let's assume for a moment that the Imre Bina's pshat is correct. I say this with trepidation against the Ketzais, but the Lashon HaRambam seems to bear out the Imre Bina. If the Rambam is really truly siding with the significance of Noisein, all of these other rayas we can kind of do away with. You know, the Schiris Rishos, we said that's a special kula, so that you know, this doesn't interest us. The Kaddish Dachayyu Shekhar, we had 15 different other ways of reading this. The Kaddish Dmei Suri Hana, who says the Rambam holds like Rashi in the first place by Dmei Suri Hana. Beis Ben Osayach, we had Tosis Rid, the top of the Rash, we had 15 different shot in the Rishon about Agamar. But there's one din that seemed to present the significance of Makabel and very little about the Noisein. And that was Evet Kenaini. How would the Rambam learn Evet Kenaini? What would the Rambam say about Evet Kenaini? Doesn't Evet Kenaini push us almost in the direction of these Rishonim, that the Makabal is really where the action is, not by the Noisein? So the answer is that the Rambam had a very strange understanding of Evet Kenaini, a very unique understanding of Hilchos Evet Kenaini. Let's take a look at the 14th of the Marmikomis. There's a comment in the Ran on the previous sugya, back at the beginning of Dav Zayin Ben Aleph. Remember when Agamara taught us the three halachas? It taught us the din of Arev and the din of Evet Kenaini, and then the din Shneim, the combination. And then what did the Gemara say? V'chein l'inyin what? V'chein mamona. The Gemara said everything that we just told you about Kedushin carries over to regular buying fields also. V'chein l'inyin mamona. Did anyone bother checking up in the Rambam whether the Rambam actually quoted that Mechein Dinin Mamona. So if you would have bothered looking it up, like the Ran actually did, you would have come to a very strange conclusion. Says the Ran, fourth of the Mamma Kems, because of the Rambam's opera, Kama Milchas Mechira, the Ran's doing his homework, checking up the Rambam's Milchas Mechira, I'm the Chaverite Manal Ploni, Vikin Abeis Ilacha, Kevjan Sakana Bais, Bidin Arif. So the Rambam quotes verbatim the din of Arev and Uchas Mechira, the Kedushin and Mechira. For lo yadati, lama lo kosav gam kemi din of Kenaini. Kav kam in Uchas Mechira, where the Rambam's quoting a Gemara of Zion, somehow left out of Kenaini. Now don't tell me the Rambam didn't find Ev Kenaini, because Ev Kenaini appears in Uchas Yishos. So the Rambam is sitting there in the corner trying to figure out what's going on with the Rambam. Do we extend the dinim from Kedushin to Mamonos? Do we accept that phrase of Rav Echeinin and Ramayin? No. So in Hilchus Arev, it carries over, and some of Hilchus Arev got lost in the shuffle. From Hilchus Yishas to Hilchus Mechira, that's a long time. It took the Rambam years to write Mishnah Torah. So it's somehow in the 5 years that it took him from the get from Hilchus Yishas to Hilchus Mechira, Arev made its way down, and Rav Echeinin got lost somewhere in the middle of Sefer Zeraim. Well, what's going on? How come the Rambam left it out? Deliberately left it out. Shema Soveru, says the Ran, maybe the Rambam holds. The Davka Lagabi Kedushin Gamrinan me Eve Kanaini. Mishum de Eve Isha Bahade Hadadi Ninhu. Gomer Lola be Isha. Aval Indian Moman Ain Lamade Eve Kanaini. Ran just said Badasa Ramam. Everyone catch that? The Ran said, it could be Makanish and Isha with Eve Kanaini. You could use the din of Eve Kanaini for Kiddushin. It's bizarre. Ein lecha bo l'chidusha. Eve Kanaini is such a bizarre din. Kinyan Kesef means the Noisin's got to give, the Makabal's got to get. What's Eve Kanaini? How does it work? So the answer is a Chiddush HaTorah. So how far can we extrapolate a Chiddush HaTorah? Almost nowhere. So where can we take Eve Kanaini? Almost nowhere except for one place. There's only one place we can comfortably extend Eve Kanaini to, and that's for Kiddushin. You know why? Because it's part of a general package called La Lami Isha. After all, don't we learn so many dinim of Isha from Eved? Do we? We learn women's Eved's Chiv Mitzvahs. We learn a lot of dinim of Get Shichur from Isha. We don't find that we learn dinim of Kiddushin from Avodim. So where do we find such a thing? So says the Ran, yeah, we do. That's all including Zer Shava La Lami Isha. But to extrapolate Eved Kenaini out of Isha and out of Eved to plug it into Chas Mechira, B'chei Gavni, you can't say. So the Ran is not comfortable with that. He's not sure this is right. He doesn't think it's right, but he defers the fact the Ram does say it. So the Ran is guessing B'das HaRambam that the Ram had a very, very limited scope understanding of Eved Kenaini. It's almost nowhere. You could use it for Eved Kenaini, you could use it for Kedusha, but you can't use it anywhere else. Can't use it for Mechira. You can't buy fields using the din of Eve Kenaini. If you can't buy fields using the din of Eve Kenaini, what else can't you do using the din of Eve Kenaini? You can't just not buy fields. What else can't you do? You can't rent fields either. Can't rent out houses based on Eve Kenaini. And if you can't rent out things using Eve Kenaini, so what standards of Kesef do you need to rent things? You need the Nosein to give and the Makabel to get. You need the same way halacha would have looked like before the chiddush of Eve Kenaini. Because according to the Rambam, even though we're in a post-Eve Kenaini world, Eve Kenaini doesn't work outside of the realm of shichur Eve Kenaini, outside of the realm of kedusha, which kind of snuck in, you know, under the radar, lola me'isha. If so, when the Rambam looked at the Gemara in Erevin and says, hey, schiris works with v'pachas hashem v'pruta, so whereas the Ktsai 600 years later said, ooh, schiris rishus works with v'pachas hashem v'pruta, because you just need a kabbalah samakabah, you don't need a sidus anoisein, and that's based on Eve Kenaini ultimately, and the Ktsai was free to go on his way, the Rambam said, nothing doing. The Rambam says, I can't learn that Gemara in Erevin based on Eve Kenaini, because I personally don't accept Eve Kenaini. So here we're going, everybody say? Then we now have three Rambams. We have a Rambam in Hilchus Ishus that accepts Eve Kenaini, a Rambam in Hilchus Mechira that left it out for some deep dark secret, giving the Ran the reason. And now we have a Rambam in Hilchus Erevin that explains, oh, by the way, Schirus and Pachas Shavaputa works as a Kulin Erevin. Lefikach, because it's only a Shvach and not a real Schirus, therefore it works. That Lashon Rambam in Hilchus Erevin, Lefikach, That word lefika can only be understood in light of the Rambam Hilchos Mechira that doesn't exist, in light of the Rambam's understanding of the non-existent din of Eved Kenani outside of Eved Kenani and Ishus. That's why the Rambam Hilchos Eved wrote what he wrote. The Ktzais may be right, but not according to the Rambam. The Avdim Luim is always right. Ktzais is always right, but not according to the Rambam. He's right according to his mindset, he's right. According to his world analysis of Eved Kenani, Eved Kenani works in Kol Tarakula, he's right. But according to the Rambam, he may not be right. But the Rambam is Lishitasa, but there's the Ran says, Ein Zeh Mechuv V'Tzarachim, the Rambam Shit is not very, very difficult to understand. There's one last Tekuda. Is there another reason why the Ktzais can't be right according to others? Eved Kenani is just not going to do the trick. Even if you don't go as far as the Rambam, even if you accept Eved Kenani and Kol Tarakula, you don't call it the Rambam, you really truly believe in the validity of Eved Kenani and Kol Tarakula, you're still going to have a lot of problem plugging in Hilchos Eruvin, Medina. Why? Which great person, great Torah personality, would never have said like the Ktzais, would never have learned that the institution of Eruvin, Pachas and Shavuot Pruth is based on Eved Kenani? Who would have had great trouble? Why Reb Chaim? Because Reb Chaim said, Eved Kenani, in the end of the day, is bound by the limitations of Shlichus. What's one of the limitations of Shlichus? The ABCs of Shlichus only works for who? Only works for Jews, doesn't work for Goyim. According to the Reb Chaim, who said that Eved Kenani is part and parcel of the Pasha Shlichus, it works for Jews, doesn't work for Goyim. Reb Chaim would be the last person on the planet to say that Shlichus or Shlichus Pasha Shlichus works based on Eved Kenani. So according to Reb Chaim, the Rambam reads like a charm. You don't even need the Ram. According to Reb Chaim, even if somehow there is a din of Eved Kenani in Kol Tarakula, even if the Rambam somehow was not Meduyak in Uchas Bechira for some reason, even Naniach that there is a din of Eved Kenani, it's still not going to work in Erevin, because Erevin is Goyim. We're being Sechir Rishus in the Goyim. If it's Jews, what do we need them for? So we have to get John's Chirus Rishus. You want to use Eved Kenani for John? That's not going to work. John doesn't have Eved Kenani. The whole Pasha of Eved Kenani is given for Jews, not for Goyim, because it's part of Shlichus. So we have two really good reasons why Eved Kenani is not going to do the trick in Hilchos Eruvin. Either because Eved Kenani doesn't exist altogether outside of Ishus and Avodas and Avdus, but even in terms of Lomid, it does exist. It only exists when there are Jews involved. Once they're going playing in the rules of the game, the rules of the game change. So we have two independent reasons why Eved Kenani is not going to do the trick, which is good for us, because if Eved Kenani fails, then where does the star go back to? Goes back to Makabel, which forces us to ask, how does Chiris work, Lesser Shavu Pruta? Which forces the Rambam to say what magic word? Lefikach, it's a cool and Hilchos Eruvin. It's not Mikra Din. It shouldn't have worked Mikra Din. The only person on this entire radar screen of the Sugya who was perfectly comfortable explaining away that Chiris Rishos and Pachas Shavu Pruta works, and it really truly works, it's not a cool and Eruvin, it really works on its own merits because it's part of the general picture of Makabo versus Noisein, who is the biggest believer of Eved Kenani, the strongest supporter of Eved Kenani, is which one Torah personality was the greatest supporter of Eved Kenani in the world? Who was that? The Ktzais. The Ktzais thought it works. It works in Kol Tarakula. It works for Chalipin, not just for Kesef. It works for Chalipin. It works for what else? It works nothing to do with Shlichos. Who remembers the Ktzais? The Ktzais said, B'dasu B'datam, back at Daf Gimel, it works for Goyim. Remember the Ktzais? B'kini Chalip and John Brown, it works for Goyim, it works for everybody. Jew and non-Jew alike. It was only the Ktzais L'shitasai, back on Daf Gimel, who was the biggest believer of the significance of the validity of Eved Kenani, that Eved Kenani works bane for Jews, bane for Goyim, that the Ktzais stared at the Din Hilchos Eruvin and he said, hey, wait a second, Eruvin works, Mikra Din, it's Eved Kenani. And he wasn't Gervis. That whole Rambam Lefigach, he didn't address the Rambam's Lefigach. So it was only the Ktzais, because he had his understanding of how strong Eved Kenani is. It works. It works by Mamonos, works by Chalipa, works by Goyim, works by itself. It's the greatest thing under the sun. So it works for Eruv and Mikra Din also. Anyone who questions Eved Kenani, either like the Rambam who questions it entirely, or those who limit it like Reb Chaim only to Jews, are forced to conclude that there's something else special going on in Eruvin, and that's the Lefikach of the Rambam. Yesterday, I was at Chasana. So when they That was one of the Edom on the Ksuba. So when they did a Kinyan on the Ksuba, so the Masada Kedushin hands over his, picks up his watch, gives it to the Chosin, and he says to me, Mizak, on behalf of the Kala, everything. So I wanted to scream out two words. Ever Kanani, according to Ktais, that's what was going on. That's exactly what was going on. I don't think anyone would have appreciated that observation, but that was what was going on. It was using, invoking the principle of, according to the Ktais, what was going on. It was using the principle of Ever Kanani, even Ruchas Chalipin, which was startling, as we spoke about in the past. But that was Ktais. Ktais was the Ma'amin, Mamunah Shleim, and the significance and the validity of Kiri Chalipin to such an extent that he saw it acceptable even in Schir Seshus between Jews and Goyim, and therefore Erevin was nothing new under the sun. And this proves to us beyond the shadow of a doubt that that's Bakabah, not Noisei. Anyone who questions any of those Nakudas has to fall back on the figure of the Rambam, puts the star back by Noisei, at least by Schirus or just by Goyim, and has a different understanding of Chazer. So, by saying, when all the dust settles, we have five different sugyas in Shas that all interact and all interplay with one another. This is one big, big, big sugya. Sugyas that cross party lines. We go from Kedushins to other sugyas in Kedushin to Bakamah, to Gazelis, to Erevin. It's all one big package deal. Fundamental question, where is the star? Is the star by the Makabal, the star by the Nisein? And what's the ultimate answer to this question? We don't know where the star is. That's Kachidak Shabtar to try to figure out where that star goes. Okay, but basically, we were supposed to start the new sugya today, but that didn't happen. So hopefully, Mitch, from tomorrow, we'll stop.
I'll work on the Ramana, work on the new recorder.
I'm working in the small recorder. So.